Good evening, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be out in the open air and to have the opportunity of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I was just saying in the church this evening, it must be something of a record for us to be able to be out four Sabbath evenings in a row. We've been out over the years many times, but I don't think we ever had four good Sunday evenings in which we could stand out and preach the gospel. But we're enjoying it at this time, and from what we hear, it might continue like this for some time. I'm going to continue speaking on the text of Scripture that I referred to last Lord's Day, found in the very close of the Bible, the last verse but one of the Bible, and we have the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, I will come again. And we're thinking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And in keeping with that, we're going to sing the hymn in our hymn book, 151, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the sea of the earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Of course, the question we were anxious to have every one of you think about is, will you be there when Jesus comes again and gathers his people together? We'll sing the hymn.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and glorious morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let me labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let me talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and my work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
It's nice to be able to say that, and say it honestly and sincerely. Oh, ask yourself the question, can you say that? That you know where it is you're going, and how it is you stand with Christ. We're going to have a little word of prayer just before we speak to you for a few minutes. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we commit this few minutes of open air witness to Thee, and pray that, Lord, it might please Thee to enable us to so speak as to bring home to the hearts of men and women, our neighbors and our friends, aye, and family members, might heed what it is God says. I pray for the help of the Holy Ghost now, Lord, to hearer and speaker, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, a good preacher will always remind his congregation of what it was he said the last time he was speaking to them. And I was speaking last Lord's Day evening for just a few minutes on the words of the Lord Jesus found at the very end of the Bible. He said, "Surely I come quickly." Now these words he actually repeated three times in this chapter. You'll find it in verse 7, verse 12, and again here in this verse 20. The Savior is emphasizing that he is coming again. The world is inclined to forget that, ignore this truth, and even Christians can become complacent regarding this glorious fact. But Jesus is coming again. Only his coming the second time will differ very much from his coming the first time. I said that last week. I said that when he came the first time, he came and nobody knew about it. The shepherds had to be told about it. The wise men had to be told about it. Herod had to be told about it. But when the Lord comes the second time, it says, every eye shall see him. I spoke too about the glorious coming of Christ the second time. There was nothing glorious about the manger in which the Savior lay. There was nothing glorious in the fact that there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph. But it will be very different the second time he comes. Because not only will every eye see him, but it says every knee shall bow before him. He will come victoriously. In the Savior's first coming, and in his ministry amongst men, you know how he was slandered, miscalled, falsely accused. It was even said of him that he had a devil. And then you know how he was crucified, how he was abused by the religious leaders, then handed over to the Roman soldiers who, in like fashion, aye, and even more viciously, beat him. And then finally, he was nailed to the Roman gibbet. And there he died. There wasn't much glory or victory, it would appear, surrounding the first coming of the Lord Jesus. Of course, he did gain the victory. Calvary was a victory. But the depth and the height and the breadth of that victory will not be seen until Jesus comes again and claims for himself what it is the shedding of his blood purchased. That's what I was telling you last week. Now, I want you to notice that the coming of the Lord Jesus is most certain. I want to do what I can to dispel any doubts about this event. Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." The very first word he utters here is "surely." We could put it "truly," or explain it as "without a doubt, I come to this world again." And we have a number of reasons that will help us be assured that Jesus is coming again, and I want you to listen to them. The first thing is this: God's truthfulness assures us Christ will come again. God is a God of truth. In Titus, Paul's epistle to Titus, the chapter 1 and the verse 2, we read the words, God that cannot lie. God cannot lie. There are many, many things that God can do. In fact, we could say that there is nothing God cannot do except act contrary to His nature and His being. God being truth, He cannot utter a lie. Therefore, when He says, I will come again, that's the truth. And being the truth, you can be absolutely sure it will be fulfilled. Now, I know men say, oh, these words were uttered so long ago. We've been hearing about the coming of Christ now for hundreds, aye, thousands of years. That's very true. But you see, man judges the passage of time in a way that God doesn't judge it. Let me read to you the words of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, the verses 8 to 10. And let Peter argue the case. He says, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time doesn't mean to God what it means to us. The Lord is not slack, Peter continues, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We see a long time passing since Christ said He would come again. The explanation for this long time is not that Christ is not coming. It's not that Christ is indifferent and careless regarding the promise of His coming. But actually God is engaged in doing something during this long delay. Listen to what Peter says. The Lord is not slack, careless concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Men make promises and don't fulfill them, or at least forget about it and delay and put it off, and then finally get round to doing what they say they would do. But that's not what God does. But God is long-suffering to usward. You see, God is engaged in a work and continues to be engaged in that work. And the work that He is engaged in is gathering out a people from among the Gentile nations of this world for His name's sake. His elect, those that He has loved from all eternity. Generation after generation, those that are His, He is calling them unto Himself by the gospel. And He's going to continue to do that until He has finished this work. And then when He has finished the work, He'll come again. So it's not carelessness. But it's love and mercy towards sinners that occupies the Savior and causes a long time to pass between His promise and the fulfilling of it. Now there's another reason, not only that God cannot lie, therefore we can be sure of this, but there's another reason. The fulfillment of the promise of Christ's coming the first time shows us that we can trust His promise to come the second time. You have to turn to the third chapter of the book of Genesis to see the first promise God made about the coming of Christ. You'll find it in the verse 15. And between the giving of that promise and the coming of Christ was approximately 4,000 years. That was a long time. That was a long time. And during that 4,000 years, God sent His prophets, one after another, down through the generation, and each one of them spoke about the coming of the Messiah. Each one of them renewed God's promise of the coming of the Messiah. There's a little verse in Galatians chapter 4 and the verse 4. I hope you're noting these references, because men and women, if there's one thing I long for each one of you to recognize, it is this. I am not making this up. I am quoting what I believe and what I preach on the basis of God's Word. And listen to what we read in Galatians 4 and the verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born of Mary in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. When the time appointed of God from all eternity had been reached, Christ was born. Not a minute late, not a minute early. Precisely on schedule. And listen, it will be the same the second time He comes. You can be sure He's coming again, because we know when He promised to come the first time, He kept His promise. Go and look at your calendar. What's the year? 2018, you say. Well, how many years back does that take you? It all begins with the coming of Christ the first time. The calendars of the world testify to the fact that Jesus came the first time as promised. And He'll come the second time the same. Then let me give you very quickly another reason why we can trust this promise. The justice of God assures us that Christ will come again. There's many a young fellow, when he has been acting the lad along with some friends, and perhaps unintentionally, a stone is thrown and a window is broken. Everybody freezes, and then somebody says, "We better get out of here, for the police will come." Well, that used to be the case. I don't know how many windows you'd have to break now to get the police to come. But it used to be the case that if you did wrong, then the wrong would be punished. Well, no matter how law and order amongst men may have deteriorated, let me tell you this. The justice of God assures us that Christ will come again. Because you see, part of that which he is going to undertake when he comes again is the punishment of sin. The punishment of sin. In the last book of the Bible, but one tiny little book called the book of Jude, toward the end of that little book, the verse 15, you read these words, and it's the quoting of an old prophecy that right back in the days of Adam was given by one of God's dear servants regarding the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And here's what that prophet said. He's coming again to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Why is Jesus coming again? Well, among the many reasons, one of them is he's going to judge those who rejected him, those who spoke against him. It's rather a chilling thought, my friend, that God has a record of our words. You know, when you take the name of the Lord in vain, and you give vent to your anger or your annoyance by taking the name of the Lord Jesus upon your lips, God heard you. You mightn't even have noticed that you said it yourself, but God heard you. And when he comes again, everyone that has spoken evil against the Savior, they're going to give an account to him. And because he's a God of justice, we can be sure he is coming again. The police mightn't turn up, perhaps as we would like them to, but that's not the case with God. That's not the case with God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've given you three reasons then why you can be sure Jesus is coming again. I'll give you one more. In the Bible, from the book of Genesis onward, we are given many, many, many pictures of the day of Christ's return. Many details regarding that event are given us in the Scriptures. Now, I'd be here a very, very long time if I began to read out a selection even of the prophecies that describe events on the day when Jesus is coming again. Well, listen, if God has given to us a picture in prophecy of what is going to happen in that day, you can be sure it will happen. Prophecy has been described as history written before the events happened. And that is absolutely correct. In prophecy, God reveals what it is one day going to happen. Listen to these words, found in 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 4, the verses 15 to 18. Just one of hundreds of pictures. But listen, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Now that's an old English word that simply means will not go before. Will not go before them which are asleep. In other words, the saints who are alive when Jesus come will not jump to the head of the queue, as it were, and get into heaven ahead of those that are lying in the graves. That's what Paul is seeking to reassure the people about. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if these words weren't true, there wouldn't be much comfort there. But these words are true. And the saints of God throughout the centuries have hugged those words to their heart and rejoiced in what it is that lies ahead of them. Tell me. Ask yourself the question. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, will I be there? Will I be there among the redeemed, among the blood washed, among the pardoned, among the forgiven, among the saved? Will you? Will you, my friend? That's the purpose of our coming out into the open air, to speak kindly and lovingly to our neighbors and challenge them about eternity. May the Lord bless his word to you all. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, bless thy word. Please visit every home here. Every person who's listened, visit them, Lord, with thy grace and mercy. And where there is no faith, Lord, may faith be granted so that they come to Christ. O God, answer prayer tonight. Thank you for the lovely weather, Lord, and for the opportunity to come out into the open air. Hear us tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for listening, folks. You know there's a welcome for you up on the hill where this old book is preached and nothing else. We'd be glad to hear that you're interested should you wish to contact me. I'd be happy to help you in any manner. May the Lord bless you and thank you for listening. Good night.